Please sit. The Israelites are in the desert and they are complaining. Normally, I'm comfortable giving them a bad time for this because that's mostly what they do. They wander in the desert and then they complain, and we repeat this. But today, I'm kind of on their side. They are wandering in the desert and they have come to a place to stop. There is no water. And this is concerning. It's concerning to them, and it should be. Water is kind of important when you're in the desert. Not really a desert person, not in this sense of the desert, but I'm a water person, and I know two things about water. It's essential for life, and it's deadly, both at the same time, often. To live, you need water that is clean, safely accessible, and sufficient. You can have water, but if it is not clean, if it is contaminated by chemicals or disease, you do not really have water. You can have clean water, but if you can't safely access it, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we have to remember that most of the world doesn't live where they have taps in their house and they turn the handle and water comes out. Much of the world walks and struggles, hoping that there will be water, hoping that it might be clean, hoping they might be able to carry enough back. And that third one is the third catch. You don't just need water, you need enough water. Just how much water is enough is one of those sort of first world problems we're familiar with. We write articles and can find lots of them if you use Google on how much water you need every day for it to be enough. There is privilege in that expectation that we can go out and buy a water bottle and carry our water safe and clean and as much of it as we need with us. But the Israelites are in the middle of the desert. They know that water is deadly. They do not have enough water, and it does not matter how clean it is because they have no access. And they know that they are at risk of dying in that place without water. They have forgotten, we forget so easily, they have forgotten that water can be dangerous and safe. They left Egypt and they left in the middle of the night carrying everything they could take with them, and they fled and they made it to the Red Sea. And there that water was dangerous. It threatened to trap them between the banks of the sea and the army of Pharaoh, which was coming. If nothing changed, they would die because of water. And they have forgotten what happened, that God parted the waters and they passed through them safely. That dangerous water was made safe and was more than sufficient, and then protected them because the waters closed behind them. Pharaoh's army was killed and trapped themselves by the water. The Israelites should know, but have forgotten, that water is safe and dangerous and essential and something God acts in and through. Perhaps this is why I don't blame them so much, because we forget those things too. We are initiated into the church. We are asked to God to draw near to us and bind ourselves to the promise to draw near to God through water. We bring people, we pour water on them, and we call it baptism. And in that promise is life and salvation and safety. And the church remembers, her people forget, but the church remembers that water is dangerous. that it is not always safe to draw near to God. The church teaches us, when we listen and when we remember, that the water we use for baptism should be enough water to drown in. That somewhere in that promise of safety is also the threat of death. We remember that we are baptized into the death and the resurrection of Christ. We remember, somehow, slightly, most of the time, that we need water, and that water is safe and a little threatening. This morning, the Israelites are in the desert, and they are convinced they do not have enough water, and they have probably kept track of exactly how much water they have, and are almost certainly aware that it will run out if they do not have water this evening. Tomorrow's travels are worrisome. My question, and it's a question that isn't answered, is what happens when the strangers walk by their camp? They're in the middle of the desert, but it's a desert where nomads live. They are not alone. Somewhere else in that desert, people are wandering, are following their flocks, are living their lives in transit from place to place. What did they do when the strangers walked past? Were they terrified and convinced that strangers threatened them and their life and their water even more? Did they remember the hospitality of God, the God who met Abraham in strangers under a tree, who insists and extends and rejoices in hospitality? What happened when the strangers walked past? I sympathize with the Israelites, with their fear that they do not have enough. And I look around at a church that as an institution is terrified we are drying up, that there is somehow not enough. And I look around at people who are baptized into a faith of abundance, who are promised to become internal springs of water sent out into the world. And I wonder how we do with the people who walk past. If we know enough, if we have the faith and the certainty that we have enough, if we are willing to embrace the safety in the threatening act of going out to greet others, of inviting them in. We have water. It is the best water. Is living water that promises safety and transforms lives. I wonder how good we are, how willing we are at sharing. Amen.